Hey everyone, it's Sonia here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Fresh Approach Fitness, Fresh Approach Wellness podcast. And I keep on forgetting that I'm working on that rebranding. So every once in a while, I have to course correct. We have another amazing heart-to-heart for you today. Her name is Andy. On episode 148, I really want you to see where this conversation takes you today. I know we're going to talk quite a bit about femininity, and that's all I'm going to share with you because the rest of the conversation is completely organic and we're going to go with the flow like always. And for those that are brand new, tripping over this show, if Andy shared it to you, if I shared it to you, what you need to know is there is a YouTube video component where you can see her beautiful face. You can see all of the show notes. And all of the reference points will be available on YouTube for this episode, as well as through your favorite podcast. You can listen while you're out and about doing things. Like usual, our shows are not geared to men or women. So if you're a man listening to this, you might learn a thing or two. All right, Andy, please take a minute and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you, Sonia, for recognizing my work and sharing this message. But before I get into introducing myself, I want you to sit back and enjoy your coffee and your listeners to sit back as well as I take you on story time. So I'm just going to share a short story and I'm going to take you back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. So, can you imagine yourself as a cave woman? So, think about that. Imagine what you would look like. So, can you imagine your hair? So, it is frizzy. Even more frizzy, Sonia.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I have to interrupt story time because I was sharing with Andy that pre-screen, I got a half an hour reminder that I had an episode today and I had my grandson with me and I just tried to pull my hair up while right seconds before we went on camera because it was so frizzy because I didn't have time to fix it. But there's the frizzy comment. All right. You entertain us. I'm listening.
So the frizzy hair is there and it's loud and it's bushy. Now think of the mono brows. There's no waxing, no threading. So it's up here. Underarm hair. Can you feel the hair on your legs? Remember, no hair salons. What about your nails? They're all chipped and dirty. There's no nail salons either. So I'm not paying. Sonia's there rubbing her hair.
I'm putting lotion on because lotion doesn't exist in the caveman's time.
It so doesn't. So can you picture what you look like? Now you had to survive and you were connected to the earth. And so the iPhone that you have today, the technology that helps you plan your life, you don't have that. That what's in your hand today, planning your life, telling you what's coming up, gone. There's no electricity, there's no running water, you cannot wash your clothes, the technology is not there. There's no dishwasher, there's no TV, there's no internet. So I'm painting a very negative picture, but imagine being so connected to the earth and to the rise of the sun and the sunset, to the seasons of the year, because you had to survive. It was harsh conditions. You had to make sure that you survive because there was wild animals out there and you needed to find food. Now, the most positive thing about this was, as a woman, you weren't alone. You were in a tribe with other women. And also, the men were there, of course, but they had their special role. They need to go out and they had to hunt. They had to provide resources for the tribe, meat for the tribe, in order to make sure that their tribe like survived and thrived, and that meat was growing the brain. And that was their important role. So let's go back to the women. So they were so all connected. And so what do you think the technology back then was for them to help them survive and plan their lives? Just think about it. Just think about it. I'll tell you the answer. I know you know it. So you know, they in this tribe of women, they, you know, women were pregnant, women had babies, you know, we had to ensure the survival of our baby. Winter was always coming. We needed food and water. And so what was that technology all the way back then? It was the same planning tool as the iPhone. It was so powerful. It was so inherent in them. I know you know it. I know it's
from the tip of your
tongue.
Do you want to guess? I do want to guess.
Okay, have a guess.
My guess for technology way back then was literally the moon, the sun and the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So the women in their tribes, because they were so together, remember there's no electricity, so they were connected to the natural sunlight and to the natural moonlight. And so they would see that they would bleed. They would have their menstrual cycles under the new moon, and they would count the number of days from one new moon to the next, and it was 29.5 days. And so that became a key planning tool and actually raised the consciousness for men in helping them understand past, present, and future. Because what they worked out was that one cycle from one new moon to the next was one lunar month. And then it took 9 lunar months to birth a baby. And so they realized that the past act of having sex with their husband led to the present of carrying the baby and led to the future event of giving birth and making sure that their baby survived. And so with this information of past, present, and future, all connected to understanding their menstrual cycle, they were able to give that strategy to man, because, you know, man is not the most fiercest animal out there. He has to deal with the lions. Like, who knows what he had to deal with back then? Remember, we're talking, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. But with that concept of past, present, and future, she gave that him to be able to strategically hunt the food for their survival. And so with the moon's energies, and I've just got my whiteboard. I don't know, can you see that?
Perfect.
So she would bleed under the new moon. That's the darkest of the moon phases. And then as the moon's light started to grow and grow into brightness to the waxing moon, she felt her energy come back, and she could feel that she was most productive in helping her tribe survive and getting things done. And then she'd come to the full moon, and this is the brightest of all the moon phases. It's when the plants and animals were most fertile, and the same with women. This is the most fertile back then, when was so connected to the earth, was so fertile. So this is when the intimacy happened. This is when babies were made. This is when they celebrated their harvest. This is when they took time off, and they just celebrated life. And then as we moved around to the waning moon, the last moon cycle, the moon starting to get darker and darker as it finishes the cycle and heads back up to start the cycle again to the new moon. And so this was an introspective time. It was a time to reevaluate their life, like both spiritually and physically, and also to reorganize their life. So that's how she used the power of the moon every 29.5 days to live from the inside and to listen to her body and her feminine intuition and help herself, her community, her tribe plan for their survival as they continue to go round and round and round. So yes, I just, what came up for you when I was telling you that story? Did it bring a memory?
Well, it wasn't just sorry, we just froze for half a second. We'll see how it goes. It looks like you froze. Hopefully she'll come right back. I'm going to wait a second to answer Andy's question. We do have a snowstorm here, so that could be what's going on. We might have to rebook this. But I'm going to just keep on talking and seeing. So I want to wait and answer Andy's question, but there is a book that I've read. So I'm just going to write this down. Book, and then the first thing that came to mind is where are we at today? She's coming back. So to answer your questions, Andy, there was three things that came up. A book I've read, and I'm not sure what it's called. It could be called, and I'm going to reference the right book in the show notes, but it could be called Do Less by Kate Northup. It could be her. And if not, it's a different book. I know it's an audio that I listened to when I was gardening because I was so excited about everything that I heard. And she talked about the moon cycles, and she talked about, and that's why I think it's this book, because you don't need to be on 100% all month, because naturally you're fighting against the grain, which leads to one of the questions I had for you. So what other feelings came up was actually appreciation for how far we've come. It's easy to say how hard it is now and how many hats we wear and how much we do right now in society, and how we have fought really hard to live in a quote unquote man's world based on what you were saying with your caveman story. And yes, we've come so far, but that also means we're juggling all of these things. So many times you'll hear people say, well, I kind of wish that I was a stay-at-home mom like in the 60s, where I didn't have that burden of the household didn't have that burden of both people coming to the household with the external stress. One person was at home, but no, this story, which is 100% true and accurate, and we know this, or we wouldn't exist today because these are our ancestors. So it just reminded me how exceptional and grateful we are to be born in this particular time. Because I couldn't imagine having my cycle during that time. I couldn't imagine all of these different things that make us feel good. And then a final question that I have for you, and this is something I'd love to dive into, is the four cycles of the moon phase. You said the new moon, the something waning or waxing?
Waxing.
Waxing first, then full, then waning, right?
Yeah.
And what if, as moms, as aunts, ooh, hiccups, what? Hang on. For the record, queens, check out my cup. Queen of everything. Ponies did say king of everything, but his broke. Just saying. And my water today.
Stay true, beautiful.
Had to interrupt that. Okay, so what I was saying was, what if we set up our lives around that moon cycle right now, and we lean into what would it look like? And it'd be really cool to talk about this and to see what would it look like to spend that last week of the month, whatever it looks like, the time in your waxing space, as you were saying, the gathering everything, the nurturing, the preparing for what's coming up. What if we looked at our monthly schedule and we applied those same areas where we're feeling our best based on our cycle, based on the loon. Okay, loon is because I learned French at a very, very early age, and loon is moon in French and lunar cycle, so I just tripped over it. It's kind of like snowing when it's snowing out, and it's called neige in French, so I'd be like, it's noshing, the combination of snow and neige. We just said we're keeping it real for you folks, guys. Okay, so those are the things that came up for me. Can we talk about those?
Yes, so I want to bring you back to my whiteboard because it's easier to show the visual. So I just spoke briefly about the four phases of the moon cycle. And so let's put our hormones on top of that moon cycle and let's see how they, cycle around. So with the new moon, it's generally associated with our menstrual phase. And so this is when our body knows that it's not going to have a baby, when our estrogen is so low, when our intuition is at its highest, at its peak, it's when we want to, you know, take that time for ourselves and be more introverted. We're sensitive, we're vulnerable, and we need that alone time and that self-care wherever we can take it. And I know as women today, like you said, we have so many hats to wear. We're busy moms, we've got businesses, we've got our families, we've got our husbands, we've got ourselves, we've got our communities. But it's being conscious of this and being know how to plan around these energies and what that means for you, whether that's going to bed, you know, a little bit earlier than usual, whether that's taking a 10-minute meditation through your day instead of, you know, just chilling out in front of like scrolling on YouTube or something like that. So it's just becoming conscious. Now I want your listeners and also you, Sonia, to think about what it's like to be in winter where you are in your country. And so when you're in this winter phase in your country, this is the season associated with the menstrual phase, what are some of the activities that you like to do at home by yourself?
That's a great question. So the first thing that came to mind for our audio listeners is I made a face and went like, ugh. Only because, first of all, I live in Canada and we do have a dumping of snow. And the older I get, the less I appreciate it. I still get excited that it's snowing, but the less I play and appreciate it. So your question, the winter phase, what do I like to do at home for comfort? Painting.
Yeah.
Journaling. Reading. Fire on. Sitting there on the mm-hmm. couch, really doing very little, even playing on my phone, playing with my grandson. Baths.
Yep. Yeah. Very nice. And what's some of the warming foods and drinks you like to have in the wintertime?
Yeah, more tea. And food are things like, I prefer things like chili and soups and stews. They're not necessarily household favorites, but I like a soup a week. Like I'll make a big batch of soup a week and eat that, I guess, wholesome and heavier foods.
Yes, very good. Very good. So, so when you're in your menstrual phase, connect that with the winter season. Now we're going to go into our follicular phase, which is connected to the waxing moon. And so our body is seeing the estrogen rise and the testosterone start to rise as well. And our follicles are preparing eggs. They don't know which eggs is going to be the strongest on which side of the ovaries. They're just preparing. And so I want you to think of the spring season, and I want you to think of how that energy comes rushing in and that you have the excitement and the passion for life. And now the hibernation is leaving you behind and you just want to get out into the world. You want to start doing things. You got that independence and you want to be out in the world and you want to get things done and you want to be productive. And so tell me now some of your favorite spring activities to do outside. And for your listeners, I want you to think about the same question. What are some of your favorite spring activities that you want to do outside?
Okay, so that's great because I mean in winter I do get outside often, but I will mm-hmm. let the weather interfere a little bit.
Yeah.
But in the spring I am outside almost every day. So in the spring, I am stepping up, where in the winter I can walk, maybe run, but in the spring, I'm definitely running and cycling a lot more with my friends. I am planting seeds for the garden if the timing is right, maybe late spring. I am enjoying that sunshine and that breath of fresh air all the time. And again, it doesn't really matter what it is.
Yeah, beautiful. Excellent. Okay. And now we're going to move around to our ovulation phase. So this is the summertime of our cycle. And so our body has chosen the ovary, which has the strongest egg to release. And so that's released into the fallopian tube and our testosterone is at its peak. Estrogen is at its peak. And so we are looking our best on the outside. We are feeling our best on the inside. We are ready to socialize. We are ready for intimacy. We are ready to be there to help others, to serve our community. And we are there to communicate. And we have strong communication skills. This is our peak confidence of our cycle. So now I want you to think about your summer time, but I want you to think about what's your favorite activities to do with family and friends in the summertime.
Hang out by the pool.
Yeah.
Be social by the pool, be social by the beach. So just being together. Really, and again, outdoors, whether it's a picnic, whether it's a hike, but normally it's where we're sitting there together and we can hear each other, we can feel the energy, we can talk. Yeah,
excellent. And now I want to take that one step further, and I want you to tell me your favorite summertime foods and drinks.
Okay, so it's really cool. I like this. Iced tea, lemonade. Lemon in my water, a lot more water in the summertime. And
yeah.
I'm trying to think, I'll pretty much drink more vodka in the summer. Like I'll drink, but a lighter drink with stuff in it. Where in the winter, it's more like a cider or heavier, almost like a Merlot if I'm having a wine. Now in the summertime, foods would be, if I had to describe it for me, it would be low effort, almost like a charcuterie board, but full of fruits and vegetables and things that you can pick at and snack and graze. I don't want anything heavy. It needs to be light. So whether it's a watermelon cucumber soup that I make that's cold, like a gazpacho, or refreshing, cool, light, yes.
Okay. So now can you see how that was different to what your body needed in the wintertime compared to what your body needed in your summer ovulation phase energies?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. Now we go to our last phase of our cycle, which is our luteal phase, which is our inner autumn, inner fall energies. And so estrogen has dropped completely. Progesterone has risen. Our body thinks the egg, which is buried into our uterus now, is going to be fertilized. And it is waiting, like it already thinks it's pregnant. So you're going to have like probably, I can have like probably over 10 days being in my PMS phase until my body says, oh, you didn't get pregnant. We got to start the cycle again. So when we're here, our body thinks we're pregnant. So what does that mean? It means we want to be at home. It means we're more introverted. It means that our baking skills, we want to bake a lot. It means we want to clean a lot. And if you think about, you've had three children, that's right, three daughters. If you think about the third trimester of being pregnant,
nesting,
where you are nesting, where you are preparing for your baby to come, this is your luteal phase, your PMS phase. This is also where our emotions are, and where I like to think that our truth bonds are directing us to go turn inward and to work on the things that are coming up for us. And also it's showing us that we need to slow down all those PMS symptoms, all those you know, the cramping, and they're telling us to slow down. It is time to slow down. Our body is talking to us through our emotions. And also these two phases is where our veil to our subconscious is our most thinnest. This is where the intuitive downloads can be at the most strongest compared to when you get into the masculine phase of our cycle of being out in the world, over here on our follicular phase side. And so now I want you to think about fall in your country, and what are your favorite activities to do in the home?
In the home.
Yes.
Actually, you're right. It's interesting because I do like to bake and cook a little bit more in the fall, a little bit more. In the home. I don't know.
Well, you've already said painting before, so it's,
Yeah, I do
painting.
paint a little bit more in the fall, yeah. I wonder. No, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on that one. That's going to make me sit and think about it. Yep.
Okay, that's okay. So what I wanted to show you asked about how can we plan our life around our cycle? And I wanted to give you a taste of what it's like. Our hormones are talking to us, every single phase of our cycle, every single day of our cycle. And if your audience can just think of this is what is so mind-blowing if we just look at the biological level of this. Our body wants us to get pregnant every single month. And so our hormones are directing our behaviors in order to make that happen. So, for example, when we get into our follicular phase, our mind clarity is at the clearest of our cycles. We've just got out of our menstrual phase where it's so foggy. And where our mind is so clear. If you look at the biological level, why is that happening? Is because our body needs to be on alert to discern the most the mate that is going to fertilize our egg, the most successful for our genes. And now if we look at here in our luteal phase, where the hormones are making us nest more, what on a biological level is happening? Why are they doing that? They're protecting the egg that the body thinks is fertilized. And so it's doing everything in its power to protect that egg. It wants the egg to survive. And so that's why you're sensitive. That's why, you're vulnerable. And that's why all those emotions are coming up for you at that phase. And that's if we just take the biological level. And now remember, this cycle continues to go round and round and round. So listen to this clearly again. Every 28 days, you have four seasons in one. And when you can live consciously with that, you're living from the most feminine part of you. You become one with your hormones, one with your body, and one with your feminine intuition. And so that's what I want to take you to the planning side, how we can plan our life around our cycle. And now I want you to take one step further. Think of your masculine calendar. Think of the masculine calendar that's on the wall, the printed out calendars, you can see it. Can you see it on the wall? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the block of the month. Now think about your masculine calendar in your iPhone. And so with the masculine calendar, I want you to think like today is Saturday. That is the masculine calendar. But as a woman, I want you to ask yourself, is it really Saturday? And how can you come and integrate your feminine calendar into your masculine calendar? Because this is what that cave woman was doing many, many, many years ago. She wasn't thinking about, is it Saturday today? Is it Sunday? Is it Monday? She was thinking, what's the moon doing? And what's my body doing? And how am I going to survive? And every one of the women here today that are listening has that inside of them today. And so how I ask myself today, is it really Saturday? Well, for me, I'm at day 24 of my cycle. So for Saturday, I'm in my luteal in waning moon energies. It's the waning moon at the moment. And so I connect with my inner feminine cycle first for Saturday and what that's going to mean for me, knowing what luteal, especially my hormones, what does being in the PMS phase of my cycle and how can I direct my Saturday according to my hormones? And so that is how you can integrate the feminine calendar into your masculine. Now let's take it another step further. Saturday, you've got a party. and you want to go to this party, I'm not taking away anything that you can do anything. It's just being aware of where you are. Now you want to, you need some waxing done, but you're nearly getting close to your period and you're going to this party, but you need some waxing done. Do you know that's the most painful time to get your waxing done? So it's better to have planned it around here in your follicular ovulation phase when you're not so sensitive. How about this? You want to start a new eating and healthy habit and you're right here in your luteal phase, your PMS phase, and then you wonder, oh, I can't keep doing this. I just don't have, it's just not working. It didn't work. The best time to start healthy eating and exercise is here in your follicular phase. This is when you have the most motivation and the most energy to start anything new. So you can really start planning your whole entire life around your menstrual cycle and live from your feminine and integrate both the feminine and the masculine. And I want to help you do that. And that is why I created the Alexa Where's My Period 28-Day Challenge.
I love that. There's so much I've taken away from today, and this topic isn't new to me, but the way you explained it, the way you brought the pieces together, the way you shared how we can infuse this into our life one way or another. I want to tap into a couple questions I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you had mentioned that between the waning,
yeah,
new moon, that is the time that your body thinks that you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the time that you are PMSing, like you said, your PMS phase, the time that you're mm-hmm. most vulnerable, and the time yeah. where your ideal introvertness, your feminine energy, needs to be nurtured.
Yes.
Okay. So opposite to that then is the masculine phase of the cycle between waxing and full.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So what, and I know you said this is the prime time to start something new, but what other things would we witness in this period?
Okay. So your planning really comes in the follicular phase energy. So for me, and also this is the other thing, before I get into all these tips, I can sit here and explain all my knowledge. I can give you all my knowledge and you can take the notes. And it's just like reading every single book, watching every video, going to every masterclass, having a cycle app on your phone. And so you're just receiving the information. And think of a surfer. A surfer's done the same. We've gone to every masterclass, watched every podcast, read every book about surfing, watched every video, has an app about surfing, but never actually took the surfboard under their arms and went out into the water and tried to paddle and then rode, tried to catch the waves. They never did that. And I just want to say this. It's the same with the menstrual cycle. You have all this information. I know you know this about your cycle, and I know every woman knows this, what I'm saying, and it's all sitting right here. The only way to get you from where you are right now is to live it consciously, to participate in your cycle, to document, to reflect, to pay attention every single day. And that is the only way true transformation can happen. So what I'm going to say is just guidelines, because you have to get to know your cycle. So for example, when I say ovulation is the most social, extroverted time, it's the most intimate time you can have. You want to be there for others. You want to be out in your community. Do you know when I hit day 13 of my cycle, I'm ready to turn inwards. I'm only out, I have from my, because I live from my cycle every single day, and I've been doing this for over 10 years. So when I get to, so I've already had from day 4 to around day 12 of being fully out, my fullest expression. And it's not saying that I go introverted completely or anything. It's that, it's just that my body shifts. I feel the shift. I could like curl up in a ball from day 13. But for other women, their ovulation phase, their social energy keeps going. One lady that did the challenge, it went to day 21 of her cycle, that extroverted, that full of energy, that get things done. So I just wanted to put a disclaimer on that. because you have to be able to listen to your own inner feminine energy and your own cycle. So let's go back to, sorry about that detour, but
no,
it is
I think
true.
That's, I'm going to interrupt for just a second, Andy, but I think that's so important. So there's so many listeners that just listen. And it's layered knowledge, because like you said, and you're teaching us how to tap into it. We already have this knowledge, but we've never been taught how to look at it this way, right? So with these guidelines and how to live it. So with these guidelines, this is a guideline. This is a foundation that you can start by, but figure out where you're at. I'm very extroverted. 100%. So I think my section there might be a little bit bigger. However, when I crash, when I'm done, I'm done. And that's where I need to retreat a little bit. So it's very interesting, because now I'm kind of connecting the dots as to why I am the way I am. And that's what you're going to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or why suddenly I'm so sensitive and it hits me like a ton of bricks. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, we're just becoming more aware as to our divine femininity and how this has an impact on our day-to-day lives. So I love the fact that you reminded us, these are guidelines and everybody's different.
Yeah, very true, very true. So with your follicular phase energy, so that's coming straight out of your menstrual phase, so great time for planning. Your mind is so clear now. And so you can also, like, if you have anything that's complex, so if you're having to write a paper, a report, you've got tax, you need to look at your tax or superannuation or something that requires your like focus. And you've been looking at it over here in your luteal phase, but you have time. You have time. Like, there's no strict deadline. Leave it here to your follicular phase. It will go bang, 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 bang. If you've been procrastinating on any project, start it again here in your follicular phase. You know, that's when you're going to get the most results. Do you have any public speaking or anything like that to do where you need to be seen? Your emotions are most stable here in your follicular phase. So you're not feeling so much anxiety, so much of that inner critic, you know, that can pop up here in your luteal phase. So anything that needs the courage, that you need to do any risk taking, you know, do it here in your follicular phase. Waxing and threading, dentist work, very important that you schedule that here in your follicular phase. That's when your pain threshold is at its lowest. Is that right? So you won't feel the pain as much if you're right here in your luteal and menstrual phases.
I just want to interrupt. We're talking specifically right now for those that are listening, and especially those that are listening, between the waning moon and the new moon is more the introverted phase, because that's the part that your body thinks that you're pregnant. Between the waxing moon and the full moon is what we're talking about right now. We're going to tap into in a second what it's like between the new moon and the waxing moon, and then the full moon and the waning moon, just to give you a summary as to what all of those quadrants look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Okay, and so if we go more down into your ovulation phase, so this is when you need to really look at yourself in the mirror when you're at peak ovulation, when you know that your body's ovulating, and you can really see how your skin is glowing. And if you look in the mirror, you can really say, oh, I look very good today, but I feel really good on the inside. And so really take note of that. And it's also when our communication skills, once again, are very excellent. So any public speaking, any podcasts, live videos, if you could schedule that in around there, that would be good. Also, for some women, it's their peak creativity. You need to figure out where your peak creativity is. Is it around ovulation, or is it in your luteal phase? Is it in your menstrual phase? Only you will know. Yeah. And so for me, it's in my luteal phase. When I get that time by myself, alone time, all the downloads start happening and I get the answers to questions that I need. Whereas when I'm in my follicular phase, it's hard for me to meditate. I don't need to meditate. I can go, 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 because I don't need that connection time. My connection time I need is all around here. But you need to figure that out for yourself, you know, and really tap into that.
So can you explain to those that are listening your connection time again, just so they can hear it? What Andy had said is the connection time for her runs from the full moon to the new moon, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
But it's different for everybody. But I just wanted to connect where that was. I would suggest that any of our audio listeners pop into YouTube so you can see this, because she's put together an amazing graphic. And I know it's going to be showcased with your challenge as well, but such an amazing graphic that you put together for us on here.
You're welcome. And also look at this study. There was a study with pole dancers done. And the study was who made the most tips according to which phase of their cycle they were in. And compared to women who were on birth control. And it was interesting that it was the women who were in their ovulation phase made the most tips, because this is when men can pick up when a woman is at her peak attraction, you know? So yeah, it is very
I love that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Okay.
Yep. So and then so if we go into the, where do you want to go now? To the waning moon to the new moon?
No, I would like to go from the new moon to the waxing moon. Other way.
New moon to the waxing?
Yeah, what happens in that phase?
So that's when you're coming out of your menstrual phase. So the menstrual time, this is when your veil to your subconscious is at the most thinnest. This is the gift that we have as women, that we can use our intuition to ask questions about our purpose or what we need, where we're meant to direct our energy for ourselves, for our families, for our communities. This is where we can download the important messages for us to help us on our mission in life. And but that the key is being able to, you know, find those times for yourself, to be able to take that time to be able to do a meditation or do whatever that means to connect to yourself. But that could even be creativity things. That could even mean painting. You know, we're all so different and unique. So it's whatever that means to you in finding that moment. And I do believe that when women are in pain from their cramps, our body is talking to us. And for all the listeners out there that do experience these cramps, I would really ask you to take that time to really center yourself and go into the pain of the cramp and ask your cramps, what are you trying to tell me? I am here. I'm listening to you, and keep that focus in that pain. Journal if you can. And then if you can, and move the energy, walking is such a good movement, you know, to move the energy as well. But you need to go in and start really listening to your body and trying to understand what she is trying to tell you, because she's talking so loudly to you.
So between, and I just want to be clear. So between, I see you've got menstrual written there. So between the new moon and the waxing moon. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is when you likely have your period.
Well, this is the other thing. So okay. I had to start with the story going back to the cavemen, when women would usually have their menstrual cycle under the new moon. But women today aren't as connected to the natural light. You know, we have artificial light. We aren't connected to nature. And so women today bleed on the new moon. They bleed on the waxing moon. They bleed on the full moon, and they bleed on the waning moon. And I just like to say, it doesn't matter that you're not bleeding under the traditional cycle of a woman. This is called the white moon cycle. What is important is that you have a healthy menstrual cycle for you, and that it is regular, because our menstrual cycle is a reflection of how healthy our body is. It's just like our heartbeat, our pulse, our blood pressure, all those things. Our menstrual cycle is reflection of our health. So I actually bleed under the waning moon at the moment. And so
Okay.
this is the purple moon cycle. It's a transitional cycle because I'm bleeding under the darkness of the waning moon. It's a time of me to go within, to turn inwards so I can emerge as the woman I'm meant to be on this earth and, you know, fulfill my purpose in life. So I'm doing a lot of, and it's really cool to see the archetypal messages behind which moon you bleed on and to see what's happening in your life and to see if that message resonates with you. So interesting, so fascinating.
Yeah, it would be so fascinating, right? So what I'm hearing you say is it really doesn't matter which moon you bleed under, but pick it
No.
up from there because the phases of the moon don't change. So which season are you literally in when you start bleeding and then go from there?
Yeah, and it's interesting to observe if you like stay on the waning moon. For over 3 years, I just stayed on the waning moon. It was remarkable. It was only last year that it started to shift. I think I went to the waxing moon, I then went to the full moon, I went back to the waxing moon and then the full moon, and now I'm back on the waning moon. So I just find it really interesting to observe that pattern, to see what's happening in your life, and just to see where the message, you know, resonates with you, and to always know best that your menstrual cycle has so much wisdom, and she delivers your cycle when you're so in tune at the right time for you. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so we talked about what we didn't talk about yet was the full moon leading into the waning moon.
Okay.
What typically happens in that stage?
So this is where, like, where you still could be, you're still out in the world, and that you're slowly starting to like turn inwards, where you really want to start being more at home, that you really need to look at your social calendar and really be intuitive with knowing which social events are right for you and which you can say no to. And so the world is like a food buffet, you know, we can eat everything at the buffet. And I've you know, have you experienced that? I surely have. And then I've now gone to the buffet and I've consciously going, no, I'm only going to have this amount and I'm only going to stick with that. And that's the same when we're getting into our luteal phase, when we're starting to turn inwards. And you really need to find out what day of your cycle that happens. Is it day 17? Is it day 19? Is it day 21? And you need to keep doing it, because this is the only way you're going to become conscious of your cycle and see if there's a pattern. See, I have patterns. My hormones drop when I'm day 17, 19, 21, and 23. What that means to me is I'm going out about my day. I'm feeling okay. I'm in my luteal phase, so my PMS phase, but then this drop of energy happens and I need to go do an inner child meditation and I need to reconnect to my spirit, to my inner child, and just say that she's, you know, she's cared for and have that reconnection, and then I can go back out into my family and I'm okay. And so that's what happens for me. So you have to really see the shift in yourself, in how much you can give to others and when you need to like turn back inwards into yourself.
And that's kind of my biggest takeaway with what I've observed when we go back to the diagram that you drew us with a circle and the full moon at the new moon at the top and the full moon at the bottom. And on either side, especially to the right, between the new moon and the waxing moon, you know, just giving everybody a physical, it's like a circle with a top and a bottom, which is the full moon and the new moon at the bottom. No, other way around. The new moon at the top, the full moon at the bottom, and you've got the waxing and the waning on either side. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, and I think this is a really interesting part, is really kind of like life. There are two main seasons. And if you look at your cycle, like summer and winter, where you're either completely extroverted or completely introverted, but you've got the two on the side that are helping you lean into one and then lean out of one and into the other. If you listen, So how would you suggest somebody get started with paying attention to their cycles? Just wait until their next period to figure it out?
Well, I would really recommend that you do the Alexa, Where's My Period 28 Day Challenge. This is like the most groundbreaking of conscious cycle wellness challenge that you can do to really tap in and to start listening to your body. And it's only through documenting, observing, and reflecting that those aha moments are going to come. And I've now done this with women around the world now for over 2 years. And like I said, you all have it right here. And even if I have a conversation with women, they know what happens in their PMS phase. You know, they know that, oh, this happens, my cravings happen, you know, this is, you know, they know. But it's also living your entire cycle. It's not just about the PMS phase and it's not just about the period. It's about living consciously every phase of the cycle. And it can only happen through documenting and living it consciously. And that's why I created this, because when I learned this at 32, I'm just about to turn 42 soon. And so this hit me on the inside, and I knew that this was my purpose in life, because I'd been on a spiritual journey since I was 24, read all the spiritual books. And in that time, nobody had even mentioned anything about the menstrual cycle and about that connection to source, to God, to your feminine intuition, to the universal spirit, and how that you can become one, you know, and find out who you are and give great meaning to why you have a menstrual cycle and design your life around the most feminine part of you and live from the inside. And that's what I do every single day, and I want to help others do it.
I love that. And we're definitely going to have your link to your 28 day challenge so people can learn more in our show notes, both on YouTube and through your favorite podcast. Let's before we hit into the top four questions that I have for you, let's summarize. Is there anything else you want to share about what we've gone over so far?
Let me see. Birth control. Now, this is just informational only. I'm not here to judge anyone for being on birth control. It's your body. It's your decision. I'm just here to provide information and just to show it in this cycle. So when we take birth control, it stops the brain speaking to the ovaries, and it's a hormone that's coming into your body. So what happens is you don't receive a real bleed if you decide to have that bleed in that cycle. You do not experience your natural follicular phase energies. Remember, that's your spring energies. Your body does not ovulate, and so you're not experiencing the natural summer energies. And of course, you don't want that to happen, because most probably you're taking it to not have a baby. And what happens is it keeps you stuck in the luteal phase energies, in your PMS phase. And so it tricks your body into thinking it's pregnant. And so this is where you stay for the entire time when you're on birth control. And so I just wanted to show how that birth control relates to the natural hormones of a woman's cycle through the visual, which I think is so important.
The visual is so important. And leave it up there for just a second. So I just want to reiterate with anybody listening to this, what Andy is saying here is anybody on birth control is pretty much quote unquote stuck in their fall stage, hibernating for the winter. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. Correct.
Okay. So they're pretty much, you know, that feeling that you get in the fall where you go inward and you know that you're going to be hibernating for the next quote unquote couple months. That's where you're going to be staying if you're on birth control, according to what Andy just said. Because I know I just wanted to explain, because we don't have the visual up for our audio audience. Andy, this is amazing. Everything that you've shared with us today, I really liked the way you explained it all. So how does knowing this impact your mindset?
All I can say is that I am who I am because of living through my menstrual cycle. And so I'm able to communicate to my husband of where I am in my cycle. He understands every single phase and what that means to me. And I'm so blessed to have a beautiful husband who works with me with my menstrual cycle. So when I say I have need those times to do an inner child meditation, he fully understands because I'm not perfect either. I'm still human. I still have blow-ups in my penis phase. Look at that.
Look at that, your throat chakra.
Yeah, my truth bomb. There you go. you know, I'm not perfect, but understanding where I am in my cycle, I navigate my whole life. I plan my whole life around it. And that really helps me with my mindset, and just knowing that I'm living in flow, living authentically, and it's wonderful to be here now after all these years, you know. And I really feel this is the secret that's missing in our lives, and that's why I'm on this mission to raise the consciousness of women through reconnecting to the menstrual cycle, because I do believe it's the secret.
I love that. Okay, so you've tapped in through your cycle into your mindset, and now you're living authentically through flow. And why this is so important is we're not going to tap into this. I'm just going to expand for just a second. Is too many females are living in their divine masculine for far too long, and we're not able to communicate things, and we're in the doing, in the hustle, instead of appreciating the fact that we were meant to change. We were meant to live our cycle outwardly. And then I'm not saying vocally, I'm saying outwardly. I had a blow up last week too, so now I'm curious as to where I fall. You know, and I did communicate that, but my needs were not heard. So this is where learning a little bit more about where I'm at, my cycle, could I express that differently from my end, right? So that's really interesting, because nobody wants to blow up. Nobody wants to have a bad day. Nobody wants to feel like they're the bad guy. So knowing where you're at in your mindset and what needs to be done, I needed to sit. I just needed to sit and recoup last week, and I didn't do it. And then I'm like, so, I get it when your throat chakra acted up and mine didn't act up, because I'm speaking the truth. So. Okay, so how do you find knowing this information has helped you with meals? And I know we tapped into this about what I liked, but can you share with me in the audience here how it's impacted your meals?
Well, this is what I'm actually most passionate about, is my food and how I change my food according to which phase I am in my cycle. So when I'm in my menstrual phase, my body actually needs meat. And so I've dabbled with every kind of diet out there, but my body needs meat. And so, but I can eat lighter meat meals, as in stir fries, like more Asian foods, because here in my luteal phase, this is where I need my heaviest meals, my most nutrient dense meals with meat again. And it soothes my emotions. This is where my emotional body is. And so I need to eat things like, what have I eaten this month? I had a stew. I've eaten spaghetti bolognese, lasagna, sausages and gravy, anything that takes me back to my mum and what my mum cooked for me and what will soothe my emotions. So my heaviest meals, if it's pasta, I don't need that much pasta, but if it's pasta, it's always here in my luteal phase. I don't need that pasta when I get up here in my menstrual phase. I need that beef stir fry, that Asian lighter meals. And so when I move into my follicular phase, my spring phase, my appetite shrinks. And now this is what you need to work out in your own cycle, because my appetite shrinks here. I've had women flip where their appetite shrinks here and here, and they're most hungry here and here. It's, and I'm just like, are you sure? You know, I've got to remember everybody has a unique cycle and a unique body, and it's only up to you to decipher what it needs. And so my appetite shrinks. This is where I can eat more vegetarian type meals, more lighter meals. My body doesn't need, I do not need red meat. My body does not need red meat in this phase here or this phase here. And so then when I get up to day 10 of my cycle, my body is starting to get hungrier. And so I need to start, you know, looking at my, so a salad might no longer do. You know, when I was, I could have a salad here, for example. I need something else with my meal, you know. So my body starts to really pick up. And then especially here, it needs red meat. And it also helps me stabilize my emotions. When I'm, I think this cycle, I had my red meat too late in the days of my cycle. So maybe day 16, I was kind of like trying to like push it down the cycle, the red meat. And I could feel my, I was just a bit like, I wasn't grounded. I wasn't in my body. And I was just like, I need meat. I just need the meat to settle my emotions and ground my emotions. So, yeah, so that's how I love to bake. All my like cooking ability really comes out here in my luteal phase. I just love to be in the kitchen. I'm like sometimes after my inner child, I'm just like, I have to cook something chocolatey. And I'm there cooking something chocolatey. I like it's this like tendency, my nesting tendency coming out. It's hilarious.
I am so intrigued with all of this. I find it fascinating, especially as a nutrition coach. So for those that are not familiar, I am a certified personal trainer, a healthy eating and weight loss coach, and an NLP life coach. So I put all of these things together and understanding your moods, your emotions, your hormones, where you land is so important to taking care of yourself. And as you're hearing your mind, your body. So, okay, let's talk about movement. How did your movement vary?
Yeah, so I plan it all through my cycle again. Everything, I plan my life around my cycle because I know that when I get in my follicular phase, that's when I have the most energy. So, yeah, so I can do like, but see, I'm a mum now, so my life is not like when it was like single life. But like, you know, so my number one priority is my son. So it's whatever he wants to do. But like I can push myself there. Like I want to go, I want to be outside in nature. We'll go for 6 kilometer walks, you know, down to the beach and just keep walking. And like just walking around the neighborhood won't do. I need to like that burst of energy and keep going. You can find me dancing sometimes here in my follicular phase, and I want to like move that energy. But here in my luteal phase, I don't have, like today, I knew I had to move the energy before this podcast, and I went outside and I knew I had to. But when I got to the beach, I was just like, I don't want to be here, like because I'm in my luteal phase. I just wanted to go home. I wanted to hide. And but I'm just like, I'm doing it for Remy because he's 5. I'm like, he just wants to be outside. I'm doing it for Remy. So sometimes that inner mother warrior energy has to come out sometimes, and you can't, you know, you can't do what your body wants. But I've also found only recently, only last year, because my life has shifted living in Albania, which is more the most coldest country I've ever lived in, because I'm Australian and I've lived in Vietnam, Sri Lanka, Philippines, that doing Pilates actually really helps my emotions in this phase.
I'm not surprised. I do Pilates quite a bit, so I'm not surprised that that would be because you're focusing on your core. You're engaging your powerhouse the whole time, right? And that's exactly what is being connected. You know, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. There's a mind body connection there as well.
Yeah, that's been very interesting. And then when I get to my menstrual phase, I do nothing. There is not zero unless it's just a gentle. I know my limitations. I know what's on my schedule. And if that means it's not that 6 kilometer walk, I can't, that no. But like Yeah, so that's really interesting. So yeah, I really listen to my body and plan accordingly to where I am in my cycle and how much energy is inside of me, how much strength is inside of me to plan my movement around, my hormones.
Awesome. Okay, and the last question I have for you is, sorry, I've got my phone ringing and I'm distracted. Your relationship with money, how has that changed? Like, when I say that, I'm talking like stress. Money is the biggest stressor, as we know, in most relationships and most people's lives. Money is a fundamental stressor. So, how do you think your relationship with money has changed as you've been applying your to the cycle?
Wow, that is a very I don't know how I can relate it to a cycle, but if
It
I
might
really
not
think
relate to
about
this cycle. Like, it might
well, I
not,
just,
so.
yeah, I just quickly relate it to the cycle. If I have any money fears, it probably comes up here in my luteal phase. All my
Okay.
insecurities would probably come up if I had to relate it to the cycle, but my money. Yeah, my journey has been very interesting because I don't live in mainstream Australia, and so I live a very different life. And so I've had to really look at my ego around what money and wealth meant to me. And so I always thought that I'd live near my mom and have the house and the car and everything like that, but my life was never planned to do that. And so I had a really hard time in Sri Lanka because I didn't want this to be my life. I wanted it to be back in Australia, and I thought that's where my life was. So I had an ego attachment that I had to really work on to money and what it meant for me. But then what happened was we moved to Vietnam, and I had an amazing breakthrough where I realized that I'm not a house person. Like if I had to choose between experiences and a house, I would choose experiences. And I'm not a woman that does the decor stuff. I'm not that woman. Don't have that creativity in me, and I don't want to put my time on that. And so that was a really real big breakthrough for me, breaking that conditioning of the house and looking at what my life was like, focusing on the blessings and how that I had all these experiences for with my family and my 5-year-old. So yeah, I don't know, that's what I would say at the moment to that
No, I
question.
think that's great. And what I like hearing about this is, first of all, everybody's relationship with money is different. Second of all, it's not as traditional as you might think it is. Sometimes your path leads in a different way. And based on your experiences, you've learned so much more about who you are. And now you're confident saying, I don't need those things. That's not necessarily who I am. The experiences, though, is who I am. And I do the things I do for the experiences I can gain.
So
Is there anything else you would like to share before we sign off today?
I just encourage that if I've inspired you to reconnect to your cycle and to live consciously, because that's the only the way like true transformation can happen. And I want you to truly transform, and I want you to go on another level with a connection to understanding your hormones and your cycle and your feminine intuition, and know how to plan your life around your cycle and integrate that into your masculine calendar, because we can't take that away, our masculine calendar. It's always going to be there. We always have roles and responsibilities that we have to show up for, but it's having that awareness, and I want to help you integrate it. So if I've inspired you, please get in touch and let's start your day one of your challenge. And that can be private or public. I've started the whole challenge series with women doing it publicly from around the world, in order to share this work in order to get the message out there and to show other women this is the results that can happen, and so to have public social proof. And so I want to also offer your listeners two offers. One, you can come do the challenge privately with me, and there's a coaching fee for us to do privately, or if you feel so passionate to use it as a social media content plan to share your story, your journey with your audience, and to spread this message even further, I will provide my coaching services free of charge if you do that. So yeah, I'm available on Facebook or LinkedIn. So, and I'm sure you'll have my contact notes and details in the show notes, and then yeah, easily contactable.
I love that. And we're going to have all of your information there. We're going to have details about your offer in there and quick links to be able to access you in there. And my contact information will be there as well for Andy's audience, or for any of my audience. You can definitely cross either one of us. We can help either one of you. She is the pro for your cycle, though, just to be clear.
One other thing is this challenge also relates to women in menopause. Don't think that you've lost your cycle just because you're postmenopausal, or if you're going in that menopausal stage, you still hold the inherent cycle within you. It's in the wisdom of your womb center. I've even had a woman who had a hysterectomy but also has her ovaries working, but it does not mean she menstruates, but she's had her womb removed. She's done the challenge and reconnected to her feminine intuition on that level. And what happens with women who are like this that want to do it postmenopausal or don't have their period anymore for some reason, like they've had a hysterectomy, we will start you with the moon cycle and live that inherent cycle that you were connected to all those thousands of years ago. So start on the new moon. But yeah, so I just wanted to say that. So it's for any woman who is menstruating, perimenopausal, menopausal, postmenopausal, you're all welcome to do the challenge. And I've had all women do the challenge now, and you can see it on my social media, the proof of their experience.
And yeah. Thank goodness, I just want to sign off saying thank goodness we're no longer cave women. I can only imagine how frizzy my hair would be. I could only imagine how hairy I would be and how uncolorful I would be. Andy, it was such a pleasure having you on today. I know this is going to inspire so many women to just look at things differently, because I can tell you so many women are looking to tap more into their divine feminine, and this is the ideal way to do it. And even if this is the only thing that you do, and then you start to strategically make some different changes, but if you start to become more aware, it's a game changer. So thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time and attention today and going through the technology hiccups. We're going to put everything together in one series. You won't even know that there was a hiccup, but for those that are curious, we actually lost the internet and we have to connect the two feeds together now. So life happens to the best of us. It's how you handle it, right?
Yeah.
Andy, thank you so, so much. And audience, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our journey here. And I wish you all a great day.
Yes, thank you so much, Sonia. You bless me so much. And thank you to everyone listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.